Let's get started. Good to see so many of you here, because all we have wanted to do now for years is develop stuff for SharePoint, and it's been a pain for us, but now it's finally amazing. So it's great to see so many here. How many have you, are you previous SharePoint developers in here? Former. How many of you want to be SharePoint developers? Come on! Hands up! Everybody wants to be SharePoint developers. Yeah. My name is Victor Wilén, I'm from Sweden, works for Avanade, have been working with SharePoint for quite some time. My blog address and my Twitter account there. Enough about that, let's talk about why we're here today. We're going to talk about SharePoint Framework. I would say it's one of the biggest things that's actually happened since the product was launched back in 2001. For the first time, we do have a really good developer story. And SharePoint has been thought, the SharePoint Framework is thought through for developers. Previously, they built the product and then tried to jack in some kind of developer story into it, but it didn't properly work. Okay, we had the feature framework back in 2009, I think it was introduced. It works so and so, but this is the one true framework that actually can make a change. But with that said, this is not something new. The SharePoint framework is, the framework per se is new, but the methodology, the way we do it, is not new. We've been doing this for ages in SharePoint, injecting JavaScript using content editor web parts, script web parts, or stuff like that. But now we have one standardized way of doing it. So, as the product group describes it, SharePoint Framework is an open and connected platform. First and foremost, it's a very new model on how to work with pages and parts within SharePoint. So they have defined a new page and part model. And the good thing with that is that they actually created a new way how pages work in SharePoint, SharePoint Online to start with. We'll come back to that later. So SharePoint 2003 started working using .NET and web forms and has been web forms since 2003. But as all of you know, web form is deprecated in .NET. It will not be ported to .NET Core. And rebuilding the whole SharePoint platform as MVC, that's not going to happen. So Microsoft does not have that much money. That's too expensive to do. So instead, they did something smarter. Let's work with something that works on the client instead. And do like all the big players out there, Facebook, Twitter, etc. It's almost everything is in the UI is client-side rendered and using smart methods. So they have defined a new page and part model. Then the part is the client-side web part, which we'll talk about. And also, they want new people in here, new blood to build SharePoint stuff. So they took a very different turn from what they previously did. They didn't base this on .NET Core or .NET or something like that, and Visual Studio and Visual Studio Team System and MS Build. Instead, they took a U-turn, basically, and looked at what's popular, what frameworks are popular out there for JavaScript developers, and what tools do they like, what tool chains do they want to use. So they based everything on a modern web stack. And we'll go into all of those details. And one important thing as well is that Microsoft themselves are now building the customizations for Office 365 and SharePoint using this framework, which means that they actually test stuff this time. And they get feedback, what works and what's not working. So it's aimed at first and third party. Yes, how many of you are ISVs out here selling products or stuff? A couple of you? I'm sorry to say there's no good story about around a store for this so far. There's no client-side web part store. That's something they are working on, but there's no such thing such as the Office store today. And that mainly has to do with how these applications work. They all run in the client or client-side and have full access to everything, so it's very hard for Microsoft to have a store that sells JavaScript injections, basically. The features we have in the SharePoint framework is, first, a presentation layer. It's all client-side JavaScript, all open source, and a lot of frameworks in there. Instead of UX extensions, they extend the user interface, and we will see that. And this is also the long game for SharePoint framework. This is just the beginning that we'll look at today. The data access is all REST and OData and that kind of stuff based on OAuth. So, for instance, if you visited App is and Waldeck's session about the graph earlier, that you will most likely talk to the Microsoft graph, and that will be better, easier ways for you to do it going forward. as soon as the Shabbat framework evolves. This is not actually tied to the actual Shabbat framework, but it's very important, I think. So one of the big things that the same team are building are the webhooks for SharePoint. So we get rid of the old event receivers and remote event receivers that never worked. So there's a new thing called the webhooks that will work more consistently, and that will tie very much into this SharePoint framework. And finally, there's a hosting part in this as well. So where do we host our JavaScript? Is it in the CDN? Is it in SharePoint or in the new SharePoint CDN? So that's up to us as developer ISVs. I want to show you a quick view of how Microsoft sees the page model. There's a sweet bar we know of today. There's something called the canvas, and we have something called the Chrome. And the canvas is up where we can do stuff. Eventually, the SharePoint framework will allow us to build full page applications and not just the web parts. So we can take control of the whole page body. But Microsoft will control the sweet bar and the Chrome. The Chrome can be configured. And exactly how that will be, we don't know yet. But it's a big canvas. And that's one of the things right now. Forget about the old web part pages where you had web part zones. Those don't exist more in the modern SharePoint world. Same with wiki pages and columns. Doesn't work. It's one big column. The reason for that is mobile first. Everything here is responsive in this new page model as well. So with the SharePoint framework, you have basically this is the only thing you can build right now, client-side web parts. It has been launched in preview, and it works in some tenants. You need to have a developer tenant, not a tenant with the developer site collection. It has to be an actual developer tenant. There, in those, you can run the client-side web parts, and it's very similar to a normal web part that we used to. I was very glad when I first saw how they built this thing. So if you've been working with the web parts previously, you understand approximately how these web parts work. And it will be released to the general availability, hopefully this year. There is something called client-side applications. That means full-page applications or library applications, which takes control of a library. Those are not even in preview yet. If you do some reverse engineering of the SharePoint framework, you can find references to these. But the team are working on client-side web part first. But these will come later. And I think actually the client-side libraries and applications are really interesting. This means that you have JS Link is very popular, for instance, to format stuff in a SharePoint list. And the libraries and applications client-side extensions will allow you to have full control of everything within that list or that application. But there's no date or anything for that. They will release that when they have client-side web parts working, then they will start focusing on the next part. And things are moving really fast. Everything right now is up on GitHub. Hopefully we even have the SharePoint framework in GitHub. So we can do pull requests, et cetera, for that one in the future. But since releasing this in late August, they had already four big releases or updates to the package. And based on very much on the feedback that we have given them, both during the closed preview that was started about a year ago and also during the last month. So that was the intro. A lot of slides here, and I'm talking very fast because I only have 45 minutes and 342 slides. It's based on a modern web stack. I think that's very important to understand. Personally, this was the biggest issue for me. I've been working with Microsoft development stuff since I was a toddler, basically. But now the world is totally different. I had to learn stuff like Gulp, Grunt, Yeoman, like the cool kids know. But that's the whole idea for this is to Microsoft to embrace the millions of open source developers. That's not enough with a million SharePoint developers. They want 2 million SharePoint developers. So they based the whole new SharePoint framework is based on Node.js, which is server-side JavaScript. With that said, Node.js is not a requirement for this to run. Node.js is required for the tool chain to work. That's the only thing we use Node.js. So as a developer, you don't have to know Node.js. Just use the tools as you want to do. But it's good to know it because then you can tweak and do even more fancier stuff. The only thing Microsoft in here is TypeScript. TypeScript is a superset of JavaScript that Microsoft developed, or Anders Heiselberg, the man behind C# and Turbo Pascal. TypeScript is a type-safe JavaScript language that compiles or transpiles into JavaScript. So it's very easy to write nice and good-looking and testable code in TypeScript. And that's where we write all our client-side web parts. Yeoman is the tool we need. That's a tool that scaffolds projects for you. Basically, it's the same as File New Project. And we run Yo. And right now, it's at Microsoft/SharePoint, if we have that SharePoint generator. And then we'll scaffold the whole project for us. I will show that in a demo. Gulp, unfortunately, Gulp is a little bit hidden in the SharePoint framework now. But Gulp is essentially Task Runner. You can compare it to MS Build, but it runs different tasks. But unfortunately, Microsoft has hidden all of their tasks in one big pile of tasks, so to say, right now. Hopefully, but our feedback has been open up this more so we can hook into the tool chain and do our stuff as well. But I think, personally, learning Gulp is the most important of all these, because using Gulp, you can create your own stuff and automate stuff in a very efficient manner. And finally, Webpack. Webpack is a bundling tool that takes all of your TypeScript files that compile into JavaScript file and bundles them together into one nice package. A Webpack is, it takes you at least 4 years to understand the basics of that one. That's, I never sworn so much in my life when I started learning Webpack. But it's good to learn as well, because then you can do some tweaking. So, one other thing that I didn't list in here, and if those of you have started using SharePoint framework, will see that Microsoft has taken one big dependency on React, the React framework that was created by Facebook. And they have chosen that for several reasons, and one of the reasons is I actually found today, the State of JavaScript report came out today. React is the most used framework that people are willing to reuse more. It's even bigger than Angular. Yeah. So they've chosen the right framework. But with that said, you don't have to use React if you don't want to. You can use Knockout, Angular 1, 2, that's up to you. But learning React, I would say that's a good thing, because Microsoft will most likely have a lot of code samples with React. The Office UI Fabric, the new one, is based on React. You get a lot of advantages if you learn React. So, now we're there. Now you want to see how this works. Now, I divided this into a sort of steps, how to get started. As this is an introductory session, tomorrow afternoon we have a more advanced one where we dig into even more code and stuff. The first of all, you need Mac or a PC. Most of you have that, I hope. At least a PC. Then you need to install a couple of things. You need to install Node.js, and you need to install Visual Studio Code. Visual Studio Code is code.visualstudio.com. Go there and download it. I think that actually installs on a Windows machine Node.js for you. I'm not 100% sure, but it doesn't. No. Okay, it doesn't. Never mind. Node.js, Node.js.org, go there and download the long-term support version, LTS version, not the latest version, because the latest version will not work with SharePoint Framework. So you have to use the LTS version. Everything of what I say here, is all the requirements, etc., are up on that GitHub repo that I linked to earlier. And it's easy to remember. Remember, github.com/SharePoint. No Office or anything like that, just SharePoint. So that's the first thing you need to do. Once you have that installed, you open up a command prompt. And this is the best thing when I first saw this. This is what I used to do like in 84 or something, using the command prompt. Edlin and debug and those commands. But we're back to there. So open up the command prompt and run npm install --- global, right? Yeah, that's the type. It's the PowerPoint replacing two dashes with a long dash. But it's --- global or simple -g. Yo and gulp. Yo is the Yeoman generator, so we need to install that one. And gulp is the task runner. We need to install those two globally. NPM stands for Node Package Manager, and that's like NuGet, if you work with that. Very similar. But just install these two global. Next thing you need to do, create a folder or go somewhere where you want to store your actual SharePoint framework project. No, not yet. You need to install the generator, sorry. npm install --global, then @Microsoft/SharePoint. That will actually install the template for you. So that the Joman generator. Any questions so far? We're all confused, new stuff. How many of you have used Joman and Gulp and all this kind of stuff before? A few of you, that's good. Do you like it? Yeah. On the other hand, with Visual Studio, you just press F5. Now we have to type a lot of stuff. Yeah. So, next step is to start building a project. And it's called scaffolding, like putting it up and then folding everything into the right folders and creating files and stuff. And you write yo@Microsoft/SharePoint. That's how you invoke the generator. Then you ask a couple of questions. And it's almost the same as file new project in Visual Studio. Once you have that, you go leave your computer, go and take a cup of coffee, perhaps a cake, then you can take a lap around the house and wait up to 15, 20 minutes, depending on your bandwidth you have, because it downloads tons of stuff here and scaffolds and stuff. It takes some time. Then you come back and you open it up with Visual Studio Code or Visual Studio, what you prefer, Sublime, Notepad, what you prefer to edit your stuff in. And you start typing TypeScript. How many of you have used TypeScript before? That's good. If you come from C# world, if you know some JavaScript, TypeScript isn't that hard. And I do actually think that they made good use of TypeScript in this and all the samples that Waldeck has built, for instance, are on GitHub. They're very useful, and just reading through those, how are people building stuff and how are they organizing their code files, etc. So when you're done with your code and you think, now I have the best web part ever, then you need to test this. And the best thing actually from this, and when I first tried it out by hand back in February on the flight home, I could actually run this everything on the airplane, and the airplane didn't have Wi-Fi. I had a local workbench that I can actually test my stuff and see if it works, and without having SharePoint, the SharePoint license is a connection to SharePoint. So when I run Gulp, which is a task runner, and serve, which is a name of a task, it will actually compile everything, bundle up everything, but also locally start a web server and something called a local workbench, where I can interact with my client-side web part using mock data, of course. I can't access SharePoint, but mock data, but test my user experience and that kind of things. And you have this Gulp serve task running all the time. So as soon as you save a file in Visual Studio Code or Notepad or what you use, it will recompile, retranspile, and bundle up it again and reload the page. So you can very easily just making small CSS changes, save your file, and see how the web browser reloads. And that is using something called the local workbench. And the local workbench is a mock sweet bar, a mock Chrome, but a live canvas where you can add your web parts and modify them. So it's not just something dumb, but you can actually interact with your web part there. And depending how advanced your mock data is or your mock service providers or whatever, then the more you can do in here. Yeah, and the idea here is, or the problem is, that we don't have access to SharePoint data. So let's see how this could look like in the real world. Let's do it like that. Minimize everything. I need to get rid of that one, and we take command prompt over here. So let's create a new directory in here. Can you see what I'm typing? Testing. So to CD testing first. Testing. When I'm in the library somewhere, if you don't like this command prompt stuff, you don't like using yo, just accept it. You have to. At least for this part, you need to run the yo Microsoft SharePoint. After that, you can get rid of the command prompt. You can go back to using Visual Studio. But for this part, you need to use it right now. So you type yo as the Yeoman generator, Microsoft/SharePoint, and would start it will invoke Node.js and Yeoman generator and find out if you have this generator. If you don't have the generator, it will tell you how to download it. And now I get a couple of questions, just like the next finish thing. So yes, I want to call it testing, use the current folder, give my web part name, because for each and every project, it will create a default web part for me. If I want to create add another web part to the same project, I just run Yo again in the same folder, and it will actually scaffold just a new web part into my project. Give it the hello world name, give it a description. Then I get the great choice of using the most popular framework out there, no framework at all, and the second most popular, React. But then I also have the option of Knockout, because Knockout is actually is not even on the top five list in that serious use, but there's quite a few actually using it, at least in the SharePoint world. But we are an isolated bunch of people. I prefer to use the no JavaScript version, at least now, until you learn React. But you can use React for that. The demo I will show you later has a React web part, but I used the no JavaScript version when I created it. So it's more about how do you want your first web part to look like. So we chose that one, and now it creates a ton of files here. And then, actually, Node.js, as I said, it downloads a lot of packages for you using npm, and those are installed in Node modules. And for the SharePoint framework, it's about 200 megs or something. It downloads each and every time, and they are stored in the Node modules folder in your local project. So if you have 10 projects, you have 2 gigabytes of files. That's just how this world works with Node.js. And the good thing is you have isolation. There's no collision or version issues, etc. But just keep track of that. And they did a good job. Initially in drop one, it was 500 meg per project, just in the baselining. Then you added a web part, it was 500 megs and 1 kilobyte. So, but this is how it is. And you can, of course, go in and clean up all your references if you want to. Just remove the node modules file if you just want to save stuff. And you don't save the node underscore modules folder to your source code repository either. Yeah, this will take a while. So let's skip that one and open up a new command prompt. Go back here, cd code, once my stuff is done, I run code, dots mean that I start with the studio code in my current window, current folder, and it will look something like this. I will have a set of files and a set of folders. All of these files are settings files, more or less, for everything from how Git works, how the editor works, how gulp, this is gulp file, the package JSON. But I also have the Visual Studio project, the Node.js. If you have Visual Studio, you can install Node.js extensions, and then you can open this folder in Visual Studio. I have the most important folder, it's called the SRC, the source code. I also have a config folder with configuration. We'll take a look at that more in the session tomorrow. But in here, it will actually create a folder called WebPart. The folder called shared is something that I created myself. But it will create a folder, and under that, a folder for each and every web part. And as you can see in this one, I run Yo 3 times to create 3 different web parts. I could do everything manual, but it's easier to do. And the first one here is my contacts web part. It will add a couple of files for me. It will add a SAS file. It will add my web part TypeScript file. It will add a manifest. And the manifest is very similar to the .webpart file or .dwp file that you upload to the web part gallery. It contains these pre-configured entries, which are the actual web part instances. If you're adding something to a page, it's using this set of properties in here. So you can have one web part with one code base, but you can have multiple configurations of that one and allow the users to add those to a page. So as you can see down here, I have the properties, the default properties. And you can also see we have localization built in here, which I think is something that Microsoft usually forgets about for the first release, something they don't know that people talk other languages than American English. So that's good, and that's built in to start with. We have also an interface. It's not looking like this, but a simpler one. An interface which defines the exact properties that we saw in that web part file. So when you add a new property in here, those are the stuff that actually will be saved or persisted into the data store when you save the web part. But you need to make sure that you have a mapping here between the JSON file, the manifest file, and this contract here. There's a couple of things that I added as well here. This is file that I added, so I can add stuff in here, and I wanted to use handlebars in this case. We'll take a look at that later. That's why it's in here. So you can add stuff in here. But let's take a look at the core of this one. And the same here, I added a bunch of stuff in here. So this is not how it will look like by default. But the most important thing is that we have this line here, which means that we want to export this class called contacts web part here. And it extends the base client-side web part. And this is TypeScript stuff that you can't do in JavaScript. There's no class inheritance or interface inheritance. But also, I want to extend this base client-side web parts with this interface that I specify, which is the interface of my properties. So the web part knows these are the properties. I don't need to go into the web part like when we did the web parts the server side. We created a property on the web part class with the different properties we wanted. But now we just pass in that interface. Then we have the constructor, of course. Can't forget about that. But we have the most important method, which is called render. And that's when you add a web part to a page, it will first call the constructor, of course, and then it will call render. And render expects you to add HTML to the property called DOM element, which is a property of the web part. The DOM element is actually the DOM element on the page, where you have the web part. So if you want to, you could use this DOM element and do fancy stuff with your page. But you shouldn't. But this is the idea. So this could just be placeholder that you start to work with, and you can use jQuery to interact with that one. jQuery is not recommended. You should use Angular or React or something like that. But if you do an Angular app, you have the app in here, and then you use Angular controllers, etc., to get it work. I have something down below here as well. This is also one thing you need to implement, the property pane settings. That exports or defines how the end users can modify and work with your web part. For instance, let's just take an example. I wanted to export the title here. And I have a label on that one, and it's a text field, as you can see, the property pane text field, so they can modify the title of the web part. And I can do other stuff down here as well. I have a slider which goes between 0 and 30, so you can drag back and forth. Okay, once I built my stuff, I go back to the command prompt to my console, run gulp serve. We have a lot, can do like this just to show you tasks. Microsoft has defined a set of tasks that we can use. In this stage, it's the gulp serve you want to use. You could do all the steps manually, or if you just want to test if it builds, you can use gulp. It takes a long time. I don't know why. Yeah. Yeah. The fans on the surface. So these are the tasks you can do. So you can run a gulp build, for instance, just compile, see if it works. Package solutions will bundle it together. We have, of course, the nuke one, which means remove all the build and almost all the temporary files, not all of them. Even deploy to Azure storage when we want to deploy to CDN. But serve is the one we want to use, so we run gulp serve. And as I mentioned, this will start also, it will compile everything, it will do linting on you. Can anyone explain linting to me? Or do everybody know what linting is? Linting is fairly new. I don't think you use perhaps FXCop or StyleCop or something like that in Visual Studio to help you writing nicer code. Linting is almost the same thing, but it tells you, okay, you forgot a semicolon on this line, or you should have a spacing like this. So it tells you your code looks pretty as well, which is good. Or everyone uses the same code style using the the square brackets on the right is in the correct place, etc. And if you have that wrong, I have some errors. But you get those kind of warnings as well, which is good. You make sure the code looks neat and nice. But it's, what it's done now is actually open up my local workbench in Chrome here on my other screen. So let's do it like that. Put that one on the right, that side. So my local workbench, as you can see, is on my local machine. And the first time I run this, I have to accept that I'm using an invalid certificate. That was one of the feedback. Originally, in drop one, they had this running on HTTP, which means that you don't had any certificate warnings. But if you want to use, when you deploy this to production, you're on HTTPS, which means that you couldn't find those issues already here, mixed content. So now it's run on HTTPS. So the first time you might get a warning here, you need to accept this untrusted certificate. So just click next finish almost there. So this is SharePoint Workbench. If I click here, this is a canvas. I can actually see the three different web parts that I have in my test solution here. It's one called contacts, one is React contacts, and one is just a test web part I have. So if I add the contacts web part, I can add a text first, for instance. Hello. And then we can add this web part. And that's my web part that shows now five different contacts using mock data. And I can add several of them in here. I can add another one down here, contacts like that. And I can even go in here and work with it. Okay, I want to show more of them. Like that instead. And as you can see, it's reactive directly. It's responding directly to what I'm doing out here. We can have, sorting is not interesting because everything is the same. But we can have big ones, small ones. We could add, that's actually the name of the list I want to read this from in SharePoint. So in this case, since I'm not reading from SharePoint, it doesn't matter what I have in there. But we could edit the title as well. Hello. Like that. So it's responsive. So it's very good in here to sit and modify and see what we can do. So for instance, assume that let's go back to the render method here and make a simple change. I have an H1 class, that's the top one here, and let's just add those three and click Control. Let's do like this so we have it at the same time. Put that in the lower corner there, like that. And this one up there. This is why you need multiple monitors when you're working with this. And then when I click Control S, you will see we will start. It detects that we changed something. It will rebuild and package everything and reload the page. And you should see those three asterisks there. So it's very easy for you when you're working with the UX, etc., and using mock data here. You don't have to care about SharePoint. Or you send this to a designer who doesn't care about how he's talking to the Microsoft Graph or whatnot. But you can work on that. For instance, I use handlebars in here. If I go to my templates, so if this is something I want to work on, I can just send them this. This is the HTML you're working with. Then they press Control S and just reload the page, which makes it very, very efficient. Okay, people, let's jump back to some slides. Time is going fast when you're having fun. Can't slide like that. Yes, we did a demo. We talked about the gulp serve. Yes, we did that. Okay, so now you're done with this one. You want to deploy it to somewhere. Then you need to package a solution. And what you're doing when you do package solution is that you create an .spapp file, and that .spapp, you have to do two things. You have to package the solution into this .spapp file, which you deploy to your app catalog, but you also need to deploy your assets, your JavaScript file that you compile to CDN or somewhere, so that app file points to those JavaScript files. And this is one of the parts. This is where you create the .spapp file. Now, I've already done that. We're not going to demo that. But then you also need to deploy it to CDN. And they have one gulp task right now called deploy Azure storage. Personally, I think this is one of the things that you most likely will build some kind of custom task for. to do, because, or you integrate to Visual Studio Team System, that you have automatic release build or the and it's release management, etc. But what it does, it uploads the bundle assets to a CDN, in this case Azure CDN. I mentioned uploading it to the app catalog, and that .spapp file, as I said, is very small. You upload it, and it asks for your consent. Okay, is it okay that you install this app, because you're installing a JavaScript app? It will be available to all site collections, and that app will have full trust in your site. Remember that we full trust in that sense, it can do anything that you as an end user can do, that app. And remember that I said you deploy the JavaScript assets to CDN. So if you're an ISV or someone getting this, if someone says to you, hey, take this SPApp file and install it, you shouldn't trust that directly, because that's a JavaScript file that might be looking good the first weeks, but they might change it in the back end and you don't know. So that's why you as an end user cannot install these SPApp files. It has to be a tenant admin with access to the, or someone with access to the app catalog, and that can consent this. Another cool thing, actually, if you're an old SharePoint developer, this SPApp file can actually contain CAML. We have no support in the tooling for it today, but it can contain CAML. So, for instance, if you want to create the library in that site you install that client-side web part, you could do that. Let me show you really quick how it looks in the web browser when we have real live data. So what I've done is I took this package. I actually skipped the deploy to Azure stage now. I still have my workbench running, so I still have it pointing to my local workbench, which means I can actually go to a SharePoint site, SharePoint framework site here, and I uploaded a page, .aspx page called the workbench, which is a local workbench, but you upload it to SharePoint, so you can work with SharePoint data in there if you don't have the modern pages experience or similar. This file is available on the GitHub repo as well, and I think it's very easy to use. You don't have to create a new page, etc. But it looks almost exactly the same as the previous one. But here we can add our contacts. We have a couple of other stuff that's in Office 365 right now, which are the new client-side web parts. The quality of these are not perfect right now. There's a lot of bugs in, especially the quick links and site activity. But let's add that one. So, and now it's actually reading from a real list in SharePoint. Oh, you see we still have the asterisks there. Okay, let's ignore those. But we can add this one. We can show some more people. And it's reading directly using REST queries and show big ones here. It can go bigger, smaller. But also, since I said I read from a SharePoint list called contacts, so I also have validation here. If I type something, a list that doesn't exist, I get a validation error out there. So I can do that kind of stuff as well. I have in the React example, we look at tomorrow, we actually have a drop down for this. We can choose which list to have. Like that. Another thing that I didn't show you with the, we talked about how the user designer or user experience designer work with the SharePoint Workbench. You can actually go in and test how does this look like on a mobile phone. Not that good. But who uses that's an iPhone 5? Nobody uses that, right? Those are banned on airplanes. This is what people use. So you can go in there and test in different scenarios, and you can turn it around and specify the size yourself if you want to here. Or go to tablet mode, which is really cool if you're if you want to adhere to the mobile first thing that Microsoft talks about. Yep, you can have this to run on, this is a workbench, as I said. We can go back to the site and actually have this run on, oh, this does not work, but I will just show you. This is a classic wiki page. Let's edit this one. And I cannot insert my clients, my custom client-side web parts right now, not at me, in my tenant at least. But I can add the web part you see here, the quick links ones, is one of the new client-side web parts that Microsoft has deployed. And if I click edit web part on that one, this is how they, the new class, the new SharePoint framework web parts will work in classic pages, such as wiki pages or publishing pages that you haven't upgraded to the modern experience. You will get this configure button here, which will take you to the nicer experience that you saw in my other property pane. And for this one, yeah, it's empty. But you get the point. So they will work both to configure and to work within classic pages. Well, there's some UX issues here as well. Let's create a new page, add a page, and it should create the modern page for me. Yes, leave that one. Modern page, and let's add something in here. And now I can access my contacts web part and add that to the modern page. Save and close. So this is how you work with it in the modern pages. And here you have exactly what I said. We have the Chrome, the Canvas, and the suite bar, etc. Yep. So let's start wrapping stuff up. Right now, we have the client-side web parts in preview for existing pages. It will start rolling out during Q3 as well. The webhooks are in preview. Files from Microsoft Graph and other stuff they announced, I think, Ignite last week. So there's stuff happening all the time. And if you remember, they had the big May 4th event at May the 4th, of course. So then the outline what to do over the next 6 to 8 months. And there was no big SharePoint announcement at Ignite because they have continuously delivered new stuff since that event. And they will continue doing that. We will have some times over the next 6 months or so, even more, so we can work with custom libraries and applications in SharePoint framework. We have the webhooks, etc. But also 2017, we will actually get SharePoint framework on SharePoint 2016 on premises, which means that investments we do in this now will work on premises as well. Exactly when, it's not known yet. They just announced the first feature pack in November, but that will not include the SharePoint framework. And I listed down a couple of Q&As. I mentioned a few of them before. So that the store story is difficult since this is JavaScript stuff that we run with almost full access within the web page. It's really hard to make a store where Microsoft guarantees that you don't change your JavaScript in your CDN. That's something they're working really hard on because this excludes the ISV very much. But with that said, add-ins still work, and add-ins will still work for the foreseeable future, and add-ins are very valuable if you want to isolate your code, or you want to use server-side code or something like that, or you want to have full control of your code, then add-ins is perfect, and you get no collisions. There are potential collisions in the SharePoint framework. Assume you have to use jQuery in one web part and use jQuery 1.9, another one you use jQuery 2.2. You might get collisions if you're not building them properly and have them on the same page. But with add-ins, that will not happen. I mentioned the frameworks as well. I said that React is something you should look at, but it's not something you must look at. It's very good to understand React, but personally, I have some issues with React, but that's more how I am as a developer, how I like to structure my code and work with that, because I think React mixes the UX and business logic too much. But there's additional frameworks you can use with React to get around that. But it's if you prefer Angular, use Angular. If you prefer Knockout, use that. I use Handlebars a lot, because I think that's an extremely good separation of UX and business logic, especially if you have dedicated UX people that only work with HTML and CSS. Use that, by all means. And of course, the real Visual Studio have support now. It's not perfect, could be better, but it's at least you can modify your files, build it in there, and use F5 deployment kind of stuff. I think that was it. We have one more session tomorrow, 45 minutes deep time on client-side web parts, where we look at even more code. And I will show you how to do more reactive web part properties and validations and stuff. Then Waldock is picking up after me and see what stuff I missed during these 45 plus 45 minutes, and he will take the rest. So no pressure. So thank you very much, and if you have any questions, feel free to come up. It was like a marathon.